We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is co-host TJ Inman. And we are diving into the wide world of sports betting, just like Iowa and Iowa State. But we should be better than the former head baseball coach at Alabama on this. Today, we'll be looking at the win totals for the Big Ten West. We'll do the Big Ten East at another date down the road. So how this will work, we'll go through the teams alphabetically, starting with Illinois, ending with Wisconsin. We'll go give you the odds, whether or not they're going to hit the odds for the over, the odds for the under, and then whether or not we think they'll hit, and go through their schedule a little bit. So it's kind of a preview. It's also kind of giving us, giving our opinion on how we look into betting the season. Sports betting, it's not going away. It's becoming legal in more and more places. And, bet responsibly as always. I do it for fun, not to make a living off of, but it is a way to enhance your viewing experience, and it's become a big part of the culture of college football. But anyway, TJ, welcome back. How are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, definitely excited to talk about football and, looking through preview stuff. You know, just a little taste to get everybody juiced for the coming season. I know that this always does it for me, kind of going through the different divisions, conferences, just taking stock of all that changed, which has become more difficult with the transfer portal. You know, the incomings and outgoings has a larger impact now than it has previously with the transfer portal. Teams' fortunes can change somewhat quickly if they do really well or do really poor in that market. It's a little bit of a different evaluation process and a bit more of a crapshoot, I think, just because there's so many unknowns with how players are going to fit in new spots or what certain subtractions from a roster are going to mean for that coming season. But I think that it's, like you said, this is a fun way to kind of preview but also give a little bit of opinion on, this week, the Big Ten West, kind of what that division is going to look like. It's the last time we're going to preview this particular division, as the divisions will be going by the wayside. So kind of a farewell to the Big Ten West, which is something neither one of us are going to be sad about.
Nope. Farewell. Goodbye. Au revoir. See you later. See you never. Thank God the divisions are gone. But let's start with Illinois. Illinois's over under is set at 6.5. You get -120 on the over, +100 on the under. Looking at Illinois' schedule, in the non-conference, they get Toledo at Kansas and Florida Atlantic at home. So Toledo and Florida Atlantic at home at Kansas. The draw in the East, I always look at non-conference schedules, and especially in the Big Ten, who you draw out of the other division, when I'm making, bets, future bets like this. Out of the East, Illinois draws Penn State. They get them at home. They draw Indiana. They get the Hoosiers at home. and they have to go to Maryland. It's not the worst draw. It's not the best draw. You think that worst case scenario, they're going to go 1-2, maybe 0-3, but 1-2, losing to Penn State and at Maryland. The non-conference schedule, TJ, that game at Kansas is tricky. It's a Friday night game. Kansas, when they have Jalen Daniels back, is dangerous. You know, Illinois loses a defensive coordinator. They lose a lot of defensive talent in that secondary as well to the NFL.
Exactly.
And then you break in a new quarterback with Luke Altmaier as well. Will Illinois be ready for that? And I wouldn't overlook the Toledo Rockets either. They're a tough MAC team. You'd think, okay, they'll beat Toledo, they'll beat Florida Atlantic. That's 2-1. If they beat Maryland and Indiana, that's 2-1 there with four wins. You know, you get Wisconsin at home, you get Nebraska at home, you have to go to Purdue, you have to go to Minnesota, you have to go to Kinnick. And you get Northwestern at home. You could throw Northwestern on the win pile, which puts you at 5. And that means Illinois has to win, you know, 2 of Nebraska, Wisconsin, Purdue, Minnesota, and at Iowa. I think it'll be close. There's a lot of unknowns in the West, especially with Luke Fickell coming into Wisconsin and Ryan Walters at Purdue. What's your take on Illinois? Can they get to 7 wins?
Yeah, so the overview of Illinois for me is Brett Bielema has absolutely improved that program. He has raised the floor of that program. I'm not sure how much the ceiling has been raised, but the floor has definitely been raised by Brett Bielema. Now, at the very minimum, you know Illinois is going to be competent. That could not have been said for a few years. Under Bielema, they're going to be competent. They're going to be solid. They're going to be difficult to beat. I'm not sure how they're going to replace the secondary talent that they lost. You know, you're talking about 3 or 4 NFL players gone from that secondary. Yep. Illinois is not at a place where they can rebuild or reload easily from that type of talent drain. Defensive line, I think, is pretty good. Offensive line is going to be good under Bielema. They just are. At minimum, they've got 2 guys that are probably NFL players in the near future on that offensive line. So that's going to be pretty good. Chase Brown, big loss on the offensive side of the ball for them. It's an offense that did not produce big plays at all. Really struggled there. And they also kind of struggled in the red zone as well. I think you look at it one of 2 ways. You just say, well, if they can improve that red zone efficiency, they could be really scary. And that's true, but I don't see what's been brought in that would lead you to believe that that red zone efficiency or the explosion of the offense is going to increase. I don't think it's going to be a very good passing game. Again, I don't really like their wide receivers. So I'm going to go with Illinois under. I think they certainly can get to 7 wins. You're right, that Kansas game, that's a big one. You're starting to add up. Okay, Toledo's a win. Florida Atlantic is a win. That's Northwestern at home, I would say, is a one you write down in pen as a W. After that, it does get into toss-up territory on a number of games. I think you would certainly favor Illinois at home against our Hoosiers. So you're looking at 4 right there.
Yep.
Kansas, definite toss-up. At Purdue, toss-up. Nebraska, toss-up. At Maryland, toss-up. They're going to be underdogs against Wisconsin. At Minnesota is probably a toss-up. At Iowa, and then Penn State. So the draw is not bad, but it just leaves a lot of toss-up there. And I'm going to lean towards the under. It's not a play that I feel particularly particularly confident about, but I think that rebuilding that secondary is going to be too big of a hill to climb to feel confident about Illinois going anything better than 6-6.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you get good value at plus 100 on the under as well. Right. Let's move on to Iowa. Iowa's over under is set at 7.5. And no, that's not points per game. That is wins for the season. Although watching their points per game is going to be probably the most interesting thing. They bring in Cade McNamara from Michigan to, you know, hopefully for Iowa's sake, reignite that offense. The defense is always going to be phenomenal under Kurt Ferentz. They get a pretty pretty manageable non-conference. You get Utah State at home at Iowa State, which Iowa has dominated that series recently. Iowa State won last year, but Iowa has beaten some of the better Iowa State teams in recent memory. You get Western Michigan. And then, again, you look at the crossovers. You go to Penn State, you get Michigan State at home, and you get Rutgers. You would think that's 2-1. You beat Michigan State at home, you beat Rutgers at home, and you lose at Penn State. You get Purdue at home, you have to go to Wisconsin, you get Minnesota at home, Illinois at home as well, Northwestern, you play at Wrigley Field in Chicago, and you get have to go to Nebraska. 7.5, kind of high, maybe. It's just the West. If Iowa's offense is anything but awful, I think they finish with 8 wins. You get a lot of these matchup games at home, like Minnesota, Purdue, Michigan State, and Illinois. And if you and Iowa is so tough at home that you think they win those, that's 4. You count Northwestern, you say they win there, that's 5. And you go 7 with the 2 Utah State and Western Michigan wins with toss up at Iowa State, which would put you to 8. I really think that this is a good number for Iowa. The over is minus 165. The under is at plus 140. So the over is a kind of heavy favorite here as well. They're expecting Iowa's offense to be much better. What's your take on Iowa, TJ?
It scares me to say this, but I think Iowa's going to be good. And I would, if I were betting on the Hawkeyes, I would go over. I'm not going to because that minus 165 number, that is so juiced that I don't think it makes any sense to really play it. If you felt confident about Iowa, I would probably buy the extra half game and get to 8 and pick over 8. You're going to get a lot better, you know, a lot better odds there. I don't know what that bumps it down to, but probably something closer to even if you were to bump it to -8 instead of -7.5. I feel like Iowa is going to be improved on offense. Cade McNamara is certainly better than what they've had at quarterback. I think that they will open it up a little bit. It's still going to be not very pleasing to watch, but I would take the Hawkeyes because I think that defense is going to be outstanding. I think that they are well coached. I think that they typically don't beat themselves, and I like the matchups that they have in terms of road-home splits. The only one that I wish was at home that's on the road is at Wisconsin. I wish that they were playing the Badgers at home, and then maybe you get, you know, go to Rutgers or something like that instead. But, you know, your quote matchup games, are mostly at home. Purdue, Michigan State, Minnesota, Illinois, Northwestern's on a neutral field at Wrigley. The games that I feel like they're probably not going to win that one anyway is Penn State, and they play them at Penn State. So I like the way it sets up for Iowa to get to 8 wins, possibly 9 wins. I could see Iowa getting to 9 if Cade McNamara could have himself a decent to solid year. I have to give Kirk Ferentz credit in the sense that they continue to be exactly who they are. They have a very clear identity, and they continue to produce really good defensive players. The obvious issue is that the offense is painfully old school without being effective. It'd be one thing if they were a more traditional offense, if you will, and were putting up, you know, mid-20s in terms of points per game, had great time of possession statistics, and it really was complementary to what their defense does. That's not been what the Hawkeyes offense has been the past couple of years. It has been detrimental to their success because of how conservative, vanilla, and boring the offense has been. I think that that changes just a tiny bit this year, and that's enough for me to feel good about getting them at 8-4, maybe 9-3.
Yeah, there's a lot of nonsense going on at Iowa too. Garrett Barta stepped down. There's all these scandals with him and, you know, settlements for, you know, like sexual misconduct or workplace harassment, stuff like that. Just a toxic work environment. And then you have, you know, the points watch. I think they put in Brian Fair. I think it was 23 points. So you're going to be on points watch for Iowa to see if Brian Ferentz comes back as offensive coordinator. It is, you know, if Iowa's winning games, but at 17 points per game, towards the end of the season, is that going to start taking over the focus of it? I probably would not touch this just because of all the stuff surrounding it. You're going to have a new AD coming in. You have all the Brian Ferentz stuff. And you know, Iowa's offensive line wasn't that good last year. And that was really the problem. I mean, the quarterback was not great either, but you know, if they're not protecting Cade McNamara, we've seen it before, TJ, with IU. If you can't protect the quarterback, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. It's not going to work. And so I probably wouldn't touch it. There's no value to me to bet over, which is what I would lean, but I wouldn't touch it. You know, if I'm betting right for value, yeah, but because they have a pretty easy non-conference schedule, they have a pretty easy crossover schedule, And Kinnick is a tough place to play, and Iowa is a lead on defense. Yeah, they're probably going to go 8-4. But if they go 7-5, you know, you're losing your bet for no real value. Let's move on to Minnesota. The Gophers over under is set at 6.5, which just off the first look at it, I think is low. But when you look into the history of Minnesota under PJ Fleck, they've had some really, really good teams, but it always seems like they underachieve and lose at the worst time. You know, the year they beat Penn State, I think that was 2019. They didn't make it to the Big Ten championship game. Last year, you know, they lose at home to Purdue. You know, it just seems like they can't get over that next step hump in terms of being a good team to really great team and making the Big Ten title game. Their schedule this year, well, first, the odds for over 6.5 is -140. For under is +120. They lose a lot too. You know, yeah. You lose your quarterback. A lot of those 6 years guys, Mo Ibrahim, Tanner Morgan's the quarterback, Chris Ottman Bell. You lose a lot, and then you lose some offensive linemen. Anyway, their non-conference schedule, well, they open up with Nebraska at home, but their non-conference schedule is Eastern Michigan at home. They have to go to North Carolina, which is tough, and they get Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns at home. You're looking at best, you're going 2-1 in the non-conference. Their crossovers are Michigan and at Ohio State, and Michigan State at home. At best, you're probably going 1-2 there as well. So you're sitting at, you know, through six games, you're sitting at 3 wins. And then you have the rest of the Big Ten West at Northwestern, which should be a win. So that's 4. At Iowa, tough game. At Purdue, toss-up. And Illinois at home, you know, another toss-up. So you're really, really pushing to get 6.5. I would probably lean on the under, especially if they can't beat Nebraska. We'll see what Matt Rhule does. It's a Thursday night opener on August 31st. But, you know, the number's so low because they got a real tough draw out of the East, and they do have to go to a nationally ranked right now, preseason nationally ranked North Carolina team. I would lean the under. You get good value there as well at plus 120. It just, you know, there's a lot of change. What's your take on Minnesota?
I'm all over the under, all over it. You know, we discussed ones that we would actually, you know, play, actually bet on. This is one I will bet on. I think that there were some offensive losses from an offense that wasn't particularly great, ones that they're going to have a hard time replacing. I do not think that they have a good quarterback on the roster. I think that there's a pretty low ceiling to what the offense can be, and I'm not convinced the defense is going to be enough to really overcome what is a very difficult schedule. You know, just look at the non-ranked teams that they play. They have to go to Purdue, which is tough. Yep. They have to go to Iowa, which is going to be a very difficult game. Even, you know, even the home game against Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, that's not a terrible program.
Nope.
So I think it's a very difficult schedule that has very few games that you look at and say, oh, yep, that's an absolute W. And a lot that you would look at and say, yeah, that's going to be really tough for them to win. So I would look at Minnesota at the under, and the only way that I feel like you're going to lose that game is if they get overperformance at the quarterback position, or if that defense is quite a bit better than what I expect it to be. So I feel pretty confident about the Gophers under 6.5.
Yeah, I do too. Look, definitely looking at that schedule, and the season starts off with a big one in the Big Ten West with Nebraska and Minnesota. And then I know it's futures and you can't really take it after game one, but that game will set the tone for both programs on how that season's going to be. If Matt Rhule starts and we'll talk about Nebraska here in a second. Matt Rhule starts with the loss, you know, how patient are these Nebraska fans going to be, you know, going forward. And speaking of Nebraska, their over-under is set at 6. They have not made a bowl game, I think, since 2016. So this would break that streak if they hit 6. The over is set at minus 120. The under at plus 100. Their non-conference schedules are at Colorado, which will be a noon, big noon kickoff game. So the 10 a.m. kickoff local time in Colorado. You face NIU. NIU in Lincoln, and you get Louisiana Tech in Lincoln. The crossover games, and Nebraska's probably mad about it. You get Michigan at home. You have to go to Michigan State, and you get Maryland at home. You're probably looking going 2-1 at worst 1-2. I think Michigan State's very beatable this year. But that game is on the road, so maybe they go 0-3 there. But your non-conference games, who knows what Colorado's going to look like. They have a whole new team, and it's on the road. But you should beat NIU. You should beat Louisiana Tech, even though they're a pretty good program. That's at home, and you got to start winning those home games. So that's two. Northwestern's at home is three. You get Purdue at home. It's and then the rest are toss-ups. You got at Illinois, who has, you know, punked Nebraska the last couple years, at Michigan State, at Wisconsin, which is always tough. You got Maryland at home, and then to end the year, Iowa. And Iowa is coming off a season where they lost to Nebraska, lost a chance of the Big Ten West title, and probably would like revenge there. Six, I kind of want to lean the under. And I don't want to get my personal feelings in Nebraska on that. I'm not going to be upset if Nebraska does not win six games this year. But six is a pretty good number. It's one that I would think hard about betting just because it's at that full number that you have. If it's at 5.5, I'd bet the over. If it's at 6.5, I'd bet the under. But with at six, you've got the push. What's your take on Nebraska?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Very interesting in terms of the start there. You know, you're starting at Minnesota, tough game. You're starting, or number two is going to be at Colorado, which who knows? Like, who knows? I mean,
nobody knows. They have 80. They have like 80 new players. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really for both of these teams. It's just a big head scratcher. Now Nebraska, certainly more retention and less roster turnover than Colorado had. Jeff Sims coming in at quarterback, interesting addition. We'll see. I mean, he's a guy that his name bounced around with Indiana some. And it was one that I think we would have felt, you know, good about him coming, but it's not like there weren't question marks. And we discussed those. You know, he's inconsistent, talented, and if Matt Rhule can get the best of him, then Nebraska's a scary opponent. Eric Gilbert transferred in at tight end. That's a big-time weapon. Lots of guys back that you wonder, hey, in a stable environment, with a really good development coach like Matt Rhule, what do those guys look like? Because it's not like Nebraska has lacked talent. They're not the most talented team in the Big Ten West, but they're certainly better than what they showed under Scott Frost in terms of talent. So I just think there's so many question marks that it'd be wise to stay away from it.
Yep.
But I think that Nebraska fans, I would hope, I don't care what happens to Nebraska, but just from a fan enjoyment standpoint, I think that what they are probably looking for is progress, right? Year one, they're looking for progress and signs that, okay, we've got a guy that can get us on the right path. And we're on that path. We are improving. And you're going from, you know, you've got tests early and often, but they're winnable ones. At Minnesota, tough game, but winnable. At Colorado, tough game, but winnable. Northern Illinois, that's a competent opponent, you should win. Louisiana Tech, same thing. Competent, but you should win.
Yep.
So I think that they're going to be looking to see, okay, how is our team progressing? Are we making the same kind of late game mistakes that plagued the Scott Frost era? Or is this truly a more buttoned up operation and we can start to feel good about ourselves going into the non-division era of the Big Ten? So I think that's what Wisconsin or what Nebraska's looking for. It's not so much the wins and losses number. It's going to be more the how the product looks on the field.
And you gotta.
I think that's kind of my viewpoint there.
Yeah, and if you're a Nebraska fan, you have to learn from the past mistakes of fan bases at former powerhouse programs. You know, you look at Florida State, they fell off after Bobby Bowden and after Jimbo Fisher. Texas is a classic example where it just, you saw improvement, but it wasn't good enough. And then, the boosters get impatient and you're constantly switching coaches. Tennessee's another example after Philip Fulmer, just constant change. Even though they had a really good year last year and won the Orange Bowl, that it has been 20 years since they had a season like that. They need to just be patient, and you don't accept losing by being patient, but you got to let Matt Rhule work. And usually his first year, especially at Baylor and Temple, before his first years weren't great. I mean, they weren't even good. But then his second and third years are better. You kind of take it with a grain of salt what he did in the NFL. Sometimes great college coaches don't pan out in the NFL. Look at Nick Saban. Look at Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll before the Seahawks and things like that. Steve Spurrier as well. So, we'll see. And if I had any advice for Nebraska fans, just be patient, because you don't want to go down the Texas road, the Tennessee road, the Miami road, where those, they just never really got that magic back. So we'll see. It is definitely an intriguing year for Nebraska, but it's a bet that I won't touch just because of the unknowns especially in that second game against Colorado. But let's go to a relatively known and Northwestern. They're the lowest total in the Big Ten West, and I think tied for the lowest total in the Big Ten. They're at 3.5. Both the over and the under carry -110. Northwestern went 1-11 last year. They won the opener. They looked good and competent and really physical, and maybe it could have been that even numbered year that Northwestern does well, except they lost at home to Duke. They lost to Southern Illinois at home in a game where Southern Illinois was up multiple scores basically throughout the second half and things like that. And then it just all went downhill from there. And I can't believe I'm saying it, TJ. If you told me that there'd be some discussions and some questions about does Pat Fitzgerald deserve to be on the hot seat at Illinois, or sorry, at Northwestern? Man, it's a discussion that people have, because he's gone. I think he went 3-9 in 2021, 1-11, and this year's schedule probably does not do them very many favors. In the non-conference, you get UTEP at Ryan Field and Evanston. You have to go to Duke. Duke had a very good season last year. They returned their quarterback, who's going to be really good. And then you get Howard at home. Now, you'd hope that Howard would be a win for Northwestern, but you just don't know. Northwestern lost to an FCS team last year. They opened the season with a crossover opponent at Rutgers. That's going to be on a Sunday. As well, their other crossovers are Maryland and Penn State. You get Penn State at home, you get Maryland at home. That's not a terrible draw. If you were kind of picking them out of a hat and said, well, you have to play one of the big boys, Penn State's probably the one you take, and you take them at home. And then you pick Maryland and Rutgers. It's not a terrible draw. Maybe they go 1-2 there. I don't see four wins. That you get Minnesota at home as well. You have to go to Nebraska. You get Iowa at Wrigley Field. At Wisconsin, you get Purdue at home, and you have to go to Illinois. I don't see four wins. I would probably bet the under. What do you think, TJ?
I just don't see it. I don't see where Northwestern has improved after last year. I mean, Ben Bryant from Cincinnati is going to be the quarterback. I mean,
that might get you one or two wins. That might get you the win over Howard and the win over UTEP.
Yeah.
But and yeah, that's doubling the win, but you still need two more wins. So let's move on to Purdue. Purdue, look, we all don't like Purdue for a lot of reasons. But their schedule is intriguing. Their over-under is set at 5.5. It's +110 for the over, -130 for the under. Their non-conference schedule is dumb. I never understand how it is. If I was a Purdue fan, I'd be pulling my hair out with these non-conference schedules. You get Fresno State, who's not a pushover, to open the season at Ross-Ade. You have to go to Virginia Tech, which is always a tough road game, no matter how good or bad Virginia Tech is. You bring in Syracuse at home, who Purdue probably should have beat last year, but had a total meltdown in the fourth quarter with penalties and all that stuff. So your crossovers are Ohio State at home, at Michigan, and then Indiana at home. Quite possibly the worst draw in the West in terms of you're always going to play Indiana. So you pull Ohio State and Michigan the same year. Not great, especially in the first year of a coach. So 5.5, you'd think that they go 1-2 in the non-conference, maybe 2-1 if you could beat Syracuse. That's two wins there. Northwestern is 3, but it's at Northwestern. And then you got to find 3 more wins. You get Illinois at home, Wisconsin at home, even though Wisconsin has been Purdue's bugaboo, for the last 20 years. Every time Purdue has a good team, and they have had some really good teams, under Jeff Brom, they could never get over the Wisconsin hump. You get them at home. That's a night game on a Friday night in September. You have to go to Nebraska. You get Minnesota at home, which is a matchup game, and then Indiana at home as well. You got to find 3 more wins there. And I don't know if you beat Illinois. I don't know. You're not going to Iowa and beating Iowa. You're not beating Ohio State. You're not beating Michigan at the Big House. So can you beat Nebraska in Lincoln? Can you beat Minnesota at home? And can you beat IU at home? And, I am not going to bet on Purdue just because I'm an IU alum and I can't bet the over. And 5, can they get 6 wins? Sure. But I'm going to stay away from Purdue at minus. There's no value on betting the under either at -130. Other than, hey, Purdue didn't win 5 games. And the more that Purdue loses, you get that value in, I guess, happiness and joy as an IU fan. What are your takes on Purdue?
It's so tough because it's obviously going to be a much different system under Ryan Walters than it was under Jeff Brom. But, the offensive coordinator hire makes you think that he's going to continue to kind of lean towards the same type of pass-heavy offense that Brom did. Obviously, you're right. The schedule, non-conference-wise, doesn't make any sense. Why are you playing at Virginia Tech? Why are you playing Syracuse? Even Fresno State, that game doesn't really make much sense. There's not anything in terms of a recruiting advantage to playing a team like that as opposed to like a Ball State. But beyond that, welcome to Indiana's life. you have to play Ohio State and Michigan. You start the season with two losses. Welcome. It's not fun. In addition to that, you're playing at Iowa. It's incredibly tough. You mentioned the games against Wisconsin that has been really difficult for the Boilers. So a lot of things have to go right for Purdue to do much better than 6-6. A lot has to go right. And to hit the over, you're counting on a pretty quick adjustment for the new coaching staff and the players. You're counting on a replacement of a lot of talent, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. They lost a lot up front and in the secondary from a defense that was pretty good. And then you're having to hope that Hudson Card is an above average, you know, to good quarterback. That's what they're going to need in order just to get the six wins.
And you don't have Charlie Jones.
Safer play. Yeah. Yeah.
So going back and watching Purdue games. Play, from... Yeah, go ahead, finish.
I think the safer play is the under. I don't feel as confident in that as I do in Minnesota and Northwestern going under. Because I think there are more variables that are in Purdue's favor than you see with the Wildcats or the Gophers. But I still I would play the under if I was betting this one. And a lot of it is due to that schedule.
Yeah, it's the schedule's tough. You also, you know, Charlie Jones, if you go back and watch the Purdue games from last year, Charlie Jones is unbelievable. And he bailed out that offense time and time again with big plays. He was unguardable at a lot of games. That aspect is gone. He was a special player. It seems that Purdue always has that one or two wide receivers that, you know, when you need a big play, you chuck it up there, and whether it's Rondale Moore, David Bell, Charlie Jones recently, they go up and get it. You also lose Payne Durham. He was a really nice tight end for them as well. It's with the coaching change and the turnover in talent, what's the rebound going to look like? If I'm betting it, I would bet the under, and not just because I'm an IU guy and would, you know, if Purdue's win total was set at zero, I would still probably bet the under just cause, but that's not the reason for this. It's a tough, tough schedule, and you're turning over now a first time coach. You're bringing in Graham Harrell as offensive coordinator. You kind of like broke the mold at Purdue. You went defense as a head coach, which in my memory, they haven't done. And you're just, you know, you all, when you think of Purdue, you think of the Joe Tiller basketball and turf, and, you know, kind of Jeff Brohm was the second version of that. And we'll see how they adjust. Let's move on to our final team of the day at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's over-under is set at 8.5. The over is at -125, the under at +105. They too are going under a coaching change, although Luke Fickell was kind of embedded in that program for the bowl season. He comes in from Cincinnati. They bring in Tanner Mordecai, who's got to be a better quarterback than Graham Mertz. Although there have been people I talked to who thought Graham Mertz is, you know, they had Ohio State shaking in their boots, which, you know, maybe because the fans would get hit by a ball when he throws. But Tanner Mordecai was at SMU. He's decent. You know, decent enough, played really well against AAC competition. If you watch his game against Maryland, made some great plays. Also has a turned the ball over a lot. So Wisconsin's always going to be the running the ball well. Jalen Berger, not Jalen Berger, sorry. Their running back's really good as well. The defense is always stout. Can they take that next step under Luke Fickell, or is it going to be a year of transition? That's the question. Their schedule's not awful. You get Buffalo at home. You do have to go out to Washington State, which is a tough trip for any Big Ten team to go out west. It's a game that Wisconsin lost last year. A lot of self-inflicted wounds there. You get Georgia Southern at home. That Georgia Southern went into Nebraska and knocked off Nebraska last year. They're not an easy team to play either. Then you go at Purdue. You get Rutgers in a crossover at home. You get Iowa at home. You have to go to Illinois. You get Ohio State at home. Indiana, you have to travel to. They haven't lost to Indiana in Bloomington since like 2002. You get Northwestern at home, Nebraska at home, and then you're at Minnesota. Kind of want to lean the over here. The only losses you really see is Ohio State. Really is the only one you could put in pen. You know, the ones that you say lean loss is at Washington State. And even then, you're sitting at 10-2. And, you know, you got to be happy as Wisconsin. You get Iowa at home. And, you know, depending on how Minnesota looks, they're rebuilding. Getting them on the road is fine. And then you get Nebraska at home, too. So, to me, 8.5. Yeah, it's right for the over to be favored. That's a lot of wins for a first-year coach, but Luke Fickell took Cincinnati to the playoff, had a couple really, really nice seasons there as well. What can he do at Wisconsin, and can they, you know, rebound from last year with no hiccups in a transition year? What's your take on Wisconsin, TJ?
Well, the offensive coordinator hire was the most fascinating part of this to me. Luke Fickell goes and hires Phil Longo, practitioner of the air raid, and everything you thought you knew about Wisconsin football has changed. And that's going to be an interesting transition. Defensively, I don't expect much of a change. I mean, Luke Fickell does a really good job coaching defense. You feel comfortable about that transition. Offensively, I mean, it's totally different. It's completely different. And how quick that transition occurs goes a long way towards what you think Wisconsin's going to look like and success they're going to have this season. Long term, I think it's a terrific hire for Wisconsin. I think Luke Fickell will do a really good job there. I don't know what the ceiling is, but they're going to be good pretty much every year. I think you can say that confidently. This season, Braylon Allen is the running back you were talking about.
Yep.
He's really good. You feel good about the offensive line. Tanner Mordecai, probably going to be the quarterback. They brought in several through the transfer portal, which was interesting. Not sure what they're going to do with all those guys, but that's their problem to figure out. I think that the base talent level of this offense is much higher than it was previously. I just don't know how quickly they are going to successfully transition to this new style of offense. I think the transfer portal definitely helps in that you can get an immediate infusion of guys that understand what it is you're trying to do on offense, guys that are coming from systems that are very similar to what Phil Longo wants to run. So you mesh that with the offensive line that Wisconsin has in place and the running backs that Wisconsin has in place, the tight ends that the Badgers have in place, and see what you come up with. I think overall, I feel like it's a pretty good mix plus a good draw on the schedule. Ohio State's the only game that really jumps out as, hey, that's a loss. So with this opened at 9, the over-under opened at 9 wins. It's dropped down to 8.5. I would be very scared to play it at 9, but at 8.5, I'd go over. For me, and we don't need to make division picks yet. We're not to that point. A lot can change between now and the start of the season. Yep. But I'm going to be choosing between Iowa and Wisconsin for who I think comes out on top in the Big Ten West. And you know, we'll see how things play out between now and the start of the season. Injuries and, you know, buzz that you get from camps and inside reports from, you know, from the beat guys that are covering the teams, like our site for Indiana or like Matt Weaver for Indiana. You can pick up a lot of information and kind of hone in on what you think is going to happen. But I can tell you, I think that Iowa and Wisconsin are the class of this division. I don't think either one is at all a college football playoff threat. I'm not sure if anybody from this division would even threaten to make a 12-team playoff. And that's why the divisions have to die, and I'm glad that they are. But I do think that there's a pretty solid group of teams here with Iowa and Wisconsin standing out.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I wouldn't – the defense is going to have to adjust to because they're going to run an up-tempo offense, which they haven't.
Right.
They haven't done it in a while, or at all. It's going to take an adjustment. The defense has to be, you know, look, they're college football players. They're in better shape than me, but they're going to have to be conditioned to have those quick bursts of energy and recover quicker. So it's definitely a different type of defense, you know, just a different type of stress that's going to be put on the defense. You're not going to have an offense that's going to just grind the ball down and give, you know, and take 4 or 5 minutes off the clock to run down, to give the defense a rest. That's just not going to happen. So how does the defense adjust to that? Again, schedule's very manageable. So they have, you know, outside of the trip to Washington State, you got a pretty easy, you know, pretty manageable first 4 games before your bye week. And then you get Rutgers coming out of the bye week before getting into the rest of, you know, the schedule, the meat of the schedule. And you don't have back-to-back backbreakers like a lot of teams in the East have. You know, you play Iowa, then you go to Illinois. You get Ohio State, then you go to Indiana, and then Northwestern. It's just – thank God that the divisions are over, because this, you know, the lack of competitive balance between the East and the West, if you put Wisconsin in the East, it's no doubt under 8 wins team, but they're in the West and you lean towards over 8.5 because there's 9 wins. You know, it's, you have one basically guaranteed loss, and now you still have 3 to play with or 2 to play with and things like that. So I take the over on Wisconsin. Any other IU news that we have to talk about before getting out of here, TJ?
No, I think our plan here, just for our listeners to know, obviously we're going to dive into the Big Ten East next. That's going to be hopefully next week, and we will knock that out. And then from there, you know, we'll start to take a look at other conferences and begin to go through things. And then, of course, as we get a little closer, begin our IU-specific position previews, opponent previews, that type of thing. And, of course, if there's any big college football news that breaks, between now and then we'll discuss here on the podcast, but I don't know if it's just the different TV contract or what, but, you know, just looking at the schedule and thinking about Indiana playing a game on CBS, like that's just got me pretty fired up. I know it won't probably go all that well given the opponent, but I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun to see the Hoosiers in that environment, and it's something that they should have no problem keeping themselves motivated with what's coming up to start the season all throughout these long summer workouts they got going on.
Yeah, for IU, it's, you know, playing on CBS, you know, growing up, that's always, the music is fantastic. The intros to the game are fantastic. It was always what the biggest, you know, best games were on. We're on CBS in the afternoon, whether it's in the SEC or you go way back when and it had other conferences. But, you know, you just cue up that CBS college football theme and you'll fire anybody up who's a college football fan. Yeah, no other news right now. You know, we talked to Matt Weaver last week. He said be on the lookout for some commitments in the next couple weeks as official visits start happening. They're going on now. It sounds like everything is going pretty well for IU in that regard. Other than that, yeah, we'll get into Big Ten East, Big Ten West previews. Our IU offense, defense, and special teams previews. As always, we're doing the countdown to kickoff. We're on day 79 today. We're heading into offensive lineman row. Everybody's favorite to write about are the offensive line. Getting into those guys as well. We'll get into team previews and game previews later in the summer, kind of switching up timing this year and condensing it. But as always, come back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Subscribe to the podcast on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the RSS feed as well. Rate us, you know, give us a thumbs up if you like. Don't forget, you could drop questions in the comments as well. Just we're getting there. We're under 80 days for college football, for IU football, less than that for college football with week zero. So I don't want to wish the summer away, but college football is coming up fast. There is no off season anymore. So thanks for joining us. DJ, thanks for joining us as well. We'll be back doing the Big Ten East win totals as well here in the next week. So if you're looking to bet on the Big Ten East, we'll get to that here in the next couple of days. Thanks. Have a great, great weekend, great Father's Day as well, and enjoy.
Thanks.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.